Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
And everybody. Oh, there we are. Hello. Good evening, everybody.
That's what happens when you don't come and do the show for a while. You like forget like how to come in and like lead in. You haven't been here in a long time.
You're being mean to me.
I'm not being mean. I'm being honest. There's a difference.
All right. This is Industry Night with Foodie and the Beast, David and Nikki Nellis. Coming to you live from our beautiful glassed-in studio here at the
very
fabulous,
sexy Line Hotel.
Sleek Line Hotel in,
well, let's not get crazy.
In Dangerous Adams Morgan. So we've got an interesting show tonight because I want to.
Why don't you introduce who's here?
Well,
okay. And then I'll explain what we're doing.
Well, all right. Let's. I guess so. Sadie Kurzban is the founder of an unbelievable workout place that my wife has discovered and now.
Is it totally addicted to?
And AJ Drunkers is the associate publisher of Edible DC, and we're going to be talking to both of them.
And I'm addicted to him as well.
We're going to come back to Sadie and give her a whole 411, but let's talk to AJ first and find out what's going on in his world.
Well, okay? So here's the thing. You know, we've been doing Industry Night here at the Line Hotel for the last a little over a year now, and I really wanted to shake things up by bringing in sort of DC personalities, people who are sort of ever present around the DC scene, whether it's working out or socially, culturally, creatively in the food space. And AJ sort of hits all those targets. So AJ, you and I first met actually when you were Felicia Beefeater.
Yes, my
right?
alter ego.
I met you in your alter ego first. So tell us a little bit about Felicia and then how that led to you being an Edible and sort of creating this role for yourself.
Yeah, so I used to be a consultant. You know, I'm one of those, I had a desk job and then all of a sudden, you know, got bored with it. Mm-hmm. So when I was at that desk job, I felt like I wasn't using all my creative skills and was just really feeling kind of dry. And all of a sudden I discovered drag and I just kind of poured my heart and soul into that. And I had always been passionate about food and alcohol in DC and beverage community.
I feel like drag, food, and alcohol kind of all go a little bit together.
Well, I want to say I like to drag my food through alcohol. So.
A little Coq au Vin moment.
Right.
Yeah, so
I mean, literally, Coco.
Literally, yes. And then so there was, as you know, you're part of the team that helps produce HRC Chefs for Equality here in DC, which brings all the top chefs and restaurants and bartenders and mixologists together to support marriage equality. At the time, that was the focus, and David had reached out, or the team had reached out because they had a theme that one year was called Kinky Boots.
Yes,
and so they
it was
wanted
our second year,
the second year, and so they were like, we want some volunteer drag queens at the event, and so my name somehow got on the list, and I. Oh, that was you. And yes. I made a cameo, and now it's a recurring role where every year it's one of my favorite seasonal things to volunteer for.
I know. I feel like you should repost on Instagram. You did an Insta story a couple years ago of what it took for you to put on your face.
Yes.
And it was intense. I was like, I need makeup skills from you because that was insane.
Well, I always joke that the makeup that drag queens wears is like Ringling level circus makeup. It's not really the kind of makeup you want to do for a normal
face. I know, but the
face.
Shading and the, I mean, it's pretty.
Yeah, the contouring, the baking, the layers, it's a process.
Yes, it is. Okay, so Edible DC.
Yeah, so
how
then,
long have you been there?
So 5 years this summer. Mm-hmm. Susan Abel, the publisher, and I used to work together in consulting, and she had this kind of grand idea to resurrect this Edible DC brand here in the DC area, and just it was the perfect timing. And so she had approached me, we had worked together, and she said, I'm gonna take the dive and do this. I need you on the team. And so I initially started just on digital and kind of helping us build our website and our social media presence. And that again also 5 years ago was when Instagram was really taking off. And so that was like right thing, right time, food, Instagram, perfect. And then a few years in, she was like, you need to come more on full time. I want you to take the associate publisher position. And so we're celebrating 5 years of kind of print and
online.
Because
now you're writing too. I mean, you're not just you're like the jack of all trades, right? You
well,
write,
just like you too,
write and pitch, and I mean, but like you're doing everything there, which is amazing.
Yeah, we have to wear every hat. You know, we have to think about distribution. We have to think about sales. We have to think about events. We have to think about storytelling. Mm-hmm. Think about creative. And yeah, we definitely have to mix it up every day with the hats and the roles that we're fulfilling because it's a small team.
So, for people who aren't aware of Edible and its reach and what you all cover, can you give us a little elevator speech on it?
Yeah, so it's a seasonally print and online magazine dedicated to the food and drink culture of the whole DMV region. So
yeah, it's not your normal. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's almost Edible itself. It really is. The photography is great. The printing is great.
But it's part of a larger umbrella, right? Because there's Edibles across the country.
There's over 100 across the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. And you essentially operate a local territory. Susan and Jen, our creative director right now, are doing a great job with curating insane content. And our focus is really...
Well, and also, I mean, Jen is like the sickest photographer in the
so
city
wonderful.
Right now.
Right.
She's amazing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we definitely try to focus and on original storytelling and our own original photography so that you're not picking up a free pub that feels kind of like fake or full of ads. You're really picking up a publication that hits to where you feel like you're from in your community.
And I feel like we should tell people one of the places you can pick up this free publication is at area farmers markets.
Absolutely.
Right?
We're at all the central farm markets. We're at all the fresh farm farmer markets. Mm-hmm. We're in Whole Foods. We're at Dolce's Gelato's. I mean, you name
you're
it. Union Market. You name it. If it's a kind of a cultural food and drink hub, we're hopefully there.
And you guys also have an e-blast every Friday, right? And you put recipes in there, which is really nice.
Yeah, I would say like one of the main differentiators outside of being print in 2019 is that we do about 15 recipes in every issue. Mm-hmm. And they're from local authors. So we have them from home cooks to chefs to bartenders. So they're all sharing their favorite seasonal recipes with our readers and followers.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you guys do events. And I was lucky enough to be one of the judges when you did that event 2 years ago.
The Edible DC Awards.
That was amazing. That was an incredible thing to be a part of. But you didn't do it this year.
Yeah, we took a...
Either that or you didn't ask me to be
No, I didn't bar you out of the Edible DC Awards. We took a gap year on the Edible DC Awards. We really took a long time to think about how we wanted to do that because we didn't want to repeat what other people are doing. Like everyone has best restaurant. We didn't need to repeat that. So what we did is we came up with original programming. So at best restaurant and chef collaboration, which you were one of the judges for. And we decided to do a gap year because we were choosing kind of sustainability topics like best local garden, best food access program. And we thought a 1 year gap would allow people to show real progress. So when we brought it back this year, that'll be in November. And that'll kind of line up with our 5 year anniversary as well. So that'll be back this year as well.
So exciting. And then do you want to tell us about the event that you got going on June 10th?
Yeah. So then our fifth Eat Drink Local will be at June 10th on Monday at Longview Gallery again. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited. We formed a really deep partnership with Fresh Farm Markets, which is an area nonprofit dedicated to helping bring farmers and local producers to urban communities so that people have access to healthy and fresh food. And so we're going to have farmers all over the event, and that'll be on Monday, June 10th at Longview.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
And so, I know you all have farmers there, but like the event in the past, you'll have restaurants participating?
Yes. So it's about 35. I have nothing
to... Are we dropping any names?
Not yet. I'm not pulling anything crazy yet.
Well, I'm not going to sleep until I know.
I'll give you a call later.
All right. And lastly, what I want to ask you is, as a DC personality, what's your, like, give us a day in DC for AJ.
Okay. Day in DC. Okay. So I think it's definitely like slow morning. Making a French press is like the most relaxing.
Is this like slow morning at like 4 a.m. before you go to SoulCycle?
It's usually between 6 and 7.
Oh my God,
yeah.
That's so goddamn
it's
early.
It's a little early. Yeah. But you know, when you wake up early to Open Fitness Studios at 5:30, you get used to waking up early. French press is my favorite thing. Making a slow breakfast is like the ultimate gift. And then like hitting a workout spot, 305, Soul, or yoga.
Okay, don't just drop 305 because she's sitting here. We all know what you do.
Hey, I've been there.
I saw Sadie sit up 6 inches higher.
Yes. She's like, show me that grapevine. Yes. That B-list grapevine. And then I think, my favorite things are like hanging out with like our friends and hitting up the local restaurants and bars and seeing what's hot.
You know
hot.
What this sounds like? It sounds like a typical day for somebody who's not working.
I know, but he is working.
Well, I mean,
that's the beauty of our work, is that it involves a lot of social interaction.
Look at you. You made it, kid.
Is there one thing that you would advise somebody like right now? I know it's cherry blossom season. Let's let's just take that off the table for the moment. What's something that everybody should go see right now in DC?
Well, something that's on my list that I haven't done yet, Glenstone. And that's
I haven't been out there either. Yeah, and so it's really hard to get in.
Yes, exactly. So I would say that's something you need to like plan for. You need to get like be on the website and understand when the tickets are going to be released, because that's something I think is a really special experience. They kind of restrict how many people can come, so it's a really special low audience kind of experience.
And you need to eat there too, because they have a fabulous restaurant.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent advice.
All right,
tell everybody where they can find you, my love.
I'm just AJDC on Instagram. Also, you can follow along at edibledc.com as well.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Now we're going to get sweaty. Sadie Kurzban founded 305 Fitness, and it's part of the I'll let you guys talk about it mostly because you're doing it, but it's kind of this dance fitness thing that's happening.
No,
right?
I love the way you're describing it.
But isn't that it?
I'm going to challenge you to describe it.
What I get is she tells me it's 55 minutes of absolutely nonstop action, and it's all dance moves led by an instructor, and it's sweating and
with a DJ.
That's really good.
Wasn't that
great job? Yeah, that's how I pitch it.
That's right. That ain't bad for an armchair, you know, slob.
That was amazing. I want to say, like, AJ is remarkable. He's amazing. I just can't stop looking at him.
I know.
I wish all the podcast listeners could also see how cute he is.
Well, they can.
But the thing that I'm so shocked by is that he said he has a full breakfast and then he works out. How do you do that?
That's a good question.
I need to eat. And I usually do like the 9:45, like the mid morning time slots, not the 7. That's too early.
I'm so uncomfortable thinking about that.
I know. Well, you work out early, don't you?
I do or I don't, but I need a 3-hour window
before food.
Yeah, maybe because 305 so much jumping and stuff.
No, I'm totally with you.
That would
are you kidding?
Be awful.
I have to watch my liquid intake.
Yeah,
but can we get to the beginning?
Because okay, no more.
Here's what I read about you. You went to Brown, and you studied economics. And then you won.
You have to keep your mouth in front of
you. You won a prestigious prize. But where is this thing? The entrepreneurship pitch competition.
I did.
And you got $25,000 to start a business.
I did.
But on the flip side, what I said to Nikki is your concept at 305 is a little bit like craft brewing, because the big gyms, as you go in and it's a bunch of muscle heads and maybe you have a trainer and it's a bunch of free weights and cross trainers and all that. And this is antithetical to that in a way. I mean, it's
what year did
it's like? It's like the craft brewing of workouts.
David, I'm so glad that you just said that.
Of you can just leave.
Okay. No, I mean it. You're actually onto something. So I graduated Brown. I graduated top of my class. I entered a really prestigious annual venture pitch competition for $25,000, and the guys who went on to go start Casper were in that competition. Wow. So
what, the mattress?
Yeah. Yes, the no one that's shit. You know, that about to go public and valued at like $1 billion. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. So,
I hate them, don't you?
No, I love them. Come on, I love them. They've been awesome. But that was the start. Was I won that competition and I was like,
but was
oh
it
my
with
God,
the 305 concept?
It was the idea back then. I was teaching classes at a college, and you know, I named it 305. That's where I'm from, Miami's area code. And the reason I named it 305 is because I grew up, like a lot of young women, but especially in Miami, just inundated with these messaging that David was talking about. You know, that you have to look hot from the time I was 12, 13 years old.
I mean,
old,
in Miami? Kidding, right?
Dieting, calorie counting, right? The women I looked up to were like these superhumans. So I named it 305 because the parts of Miami I love is the sexiness, the Latin food, the music, the diversity. The parts of Miami I didn't love that I wanted to create my own version of was this part that was telling women that they weren't good enough. So that's what 305 is all about. That is why we are like craft beer. You're totally right.
Is that how you pitched it, though, when you pitched the concept, the anti-gym in
were
a way?
We the anti- I mean, the whole
what
rise.
Year, what year is this?
That was 2012, so it was already 7 years ago. I've been
okay,
doing
so
this.
Like at this, I'm the only reason why I ask is because I feel like, as David said, you know, there are the big gyms, right? You know,
I mean, there was Zumba and all that stuff.
Golds and Anytime Fitness, but the boutique fitness was just like sort of happening.
Yes.
It was probably already happening in New York, but you were still in college. But like in DC, the Solidcores, the Zangos, the Solidcore, I mean, the SoulCycles, Core Yoga, I mean, all of them,
yes.
Barry's, et cetera, it's like they were all percolating.
Right.
So were you noticing that, or you were like, no, this is just something I want?
The same thing that made boutiques happen was the same thing that was happening for me as a 16, 17-year-old, which was that I looked around at the time and I saw, wow, me and my friends, we want to work out. Mm-hmm. But the message that was available in big box gyms wasn't resonating, and it still doesn't for all of these young consumers. So it's just that fitness as a category, you know, food's been around for a long time, but fitness as a category has really just become something mass. You know, now you have millennials and Gen Z. They report that they're 75% of them are working out, 3/4. Baby boomers, it's less than a third. So there's just like this huge explosion.
What are you looking
it.
At me for? I'm part of the third.
I mean, I'm staring right at you. But fitness.
No.
I mean, fitness is growing so much as a category. If you look back.
I just
want
to say for the record, you totally, as everybody does, left out the Gen Xers, who are still a prime market.
Are they a thing?
But nobody addresses
them. Well, you're just a bunch of fat asses. So.
No, well, we're not fat asses.
Basically, you know, it goes up the younger that you get. So even Gen Z are working out more than millennials. And it's just exploding. So boutiques were part of that response of saying, wow, a lot of people want this thing, but the available options aren't really speaking.
But the thing that you sort of touched on before, I belong to a gym in our neighborhood that where, I mean, there's no intimidation factor there. There's one guy who's built like The Rock, and he's juicing. So
but
everybody
it's like
knows
a,
he's juicing.
But, country gym.
But I mean, when you. So what?
The no, equipment's all the same. I'm just giving her the context.
Don't you diss the sweatshop.
I'm not dissing
okay.
the sweatshop. I used
but
to belong there.
My point is that you know, if you're not a perfect, you know, 10 and you go into these gyms, it can be very intimidating if you're sitting, you know, if you're in the free weight room with a guy who's, you know, who looks like Schwarzenegger. And the other thing that your concept does is it brings it down. It makes it for the proletariat. You know, anybody can be in there, and you're in there working, and you're not really being judged by the person next to you or having to feel like you are.
Well, I know, but we haven't really explained the concept yet. So
I'm saying
it, I feel like you've jumped ahead a bit.
Well, but that was part of her concept.
It's the inspiration.
So when you're at Brown, you get this funding.
Yes.
You have this class concept. Are you actually rolling it out? Are you doing pop-ups?
Yeah, I was teaching it. I was teaching it in college.
Where were you teaching?
Out of our university's gym.
Okay.
You know, we'd get 200, 300 kids, and the next cycling class would get 2 people. So I knew I was onto something.
And how were you coming up with the choreography? How were you coming up with the concept? Like, I feel like we need to start back even further. Where did the idea... Because there's nothing like this anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, you've been, so you can see it. It's really hard to describe, but the dance moves are all easy to follow. I'm not a dancer myself. I came up with the choreography. Now today, our instructors come up with the choreography, and our customers do too. So everything has just happened very organically. We've continued to listen to the customer right in front of us. We haven't ever made decisions without listening to her first.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we were talking about how the fitness industry is one way and we're different, that really is a big difference.
Well,
you know,
wait,
we're not,
is it a her? Completely?
No, it's her and him.
It's her and him, but it's about 95% female, I would say. And we own that. We're not trying to cater to the straight man.
But there are straight men there.
There are, but that's just not the business
right.
that we're in. There's plenty of things that
don't,
he can
consider. Don't lock me out.
As you, as you rolled out the concept, you get this financial contribution. How did you use the money? How did you figure out how to go? What's next?
Okay, so I have $25,000. I'm 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I... dying to move to New York, even though I've never lived there. So that's what I do. I move to New York. I live in a really small apartment in Brooklyn, and I build the website on the first day. And then on the second day, I, using Google, go around to every dance studio in Manhattan and choose the one that I think will work the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay, you know, $50 an hour for a Monday night and a Saturday morning class. And then at the time, Facebook was really big. You know, Instagram had just started. So just marketed it to my friends, begged them to bring people, plugged in these lights to create an experience, hired a DJ off of Craigslist, and in this really quick way, just kind of got this following. So that was the math every time. It was, okay, I'm paying $50 for this class. I'm going to try and get 10 people to pay $20. That'll be my $150. I can reinvest that. And that's how it grew. And within 6 months, you know, we had 40 classes a week, and I had trained 5 other instructors, and it really just grew overnight.
That's insane. Crazy. So how did you go about coming up with a curriculum, basically? How did you come up with, when you said you trained these people initially, how did you come up with how it was going to work? I mean, I feel like there had to be a business plan in your, either on paper or in your head in order to roll it out.
The class itself, this is actually a great story, and it's true, which is that I really was teaching a format that was a lot more like Zumba or Jazzercise, you know, song by song, taking a water break between the songs. And one of the first DJs I hired off of Craigslist, his booth was like upstairs, so I couldn't get to him easily while I was teaching. And I had never met him before, right? He shows up, he's this kid, he's 20 years old. And I say, okay, here's my list of songs, play this, these songs. You're basically just here to pretend to be a DJ. Just play these songs. He plays whatever he wants as fast as he can. And I'm like jumping around, grapevining, turning, trying to figure it out. And that's what the class is today. It's nonstop. But it really was him. He created something and we created this thing together totally organically.
So was it while he was doing that, you were like, oh, light bulb.
Yes. I can change And this. I was also totally panicked because I was like, none of this is choreography I know. So that's how the class, you know, came about. Is it really is easy to follow. The instructor's improvising quite a bit of it, mm-hmm. which makes it exceptionally fun to teach. So we now have had over 100 instructors, 50 DJs in the last 6 years. Our turnover is like 2%. It's ridiculous because it's so ridiculously low because people love to work at 305. They really do. It's a great place to work.
Well, just as somebody who goes there regularly, it is filled with a very positive attitude. All the instructors are really happy. They are happy to be there. They're excited to be a part of the class. I've been doing it for over a year now. And I really haven't had one who, I don't know, sort of brought me down or, you know what I mean? Like, and there is really no judgment. I think the most interesting thing about the class is the diversity in the class. It's people of all shapes and sizes. And when I say there is no judgment, you know, because you can feel silly dancing, you know what I mean? And I think you can become self-conscious in a different sort of venue. But because the lights are all over the place and you're constantly moving, you're not always looking at one mirror, you're always moving around the dance room, and the instructors are always moving. So like you're never in front, you could be in front, you could be in back, you can be in the middle. It's a real engaged process and you're really focused on yourself.
Absolutely.
And I love that component of it. I mean, for me, I've been working out since I was little. I mean, much like you, do you know, I mean, I think like all women, we all strive to be our very best. We see a lot of images and we struggle with how to eat properly, how to work out properly, how to be our best without being unhealthy.
Yes.
Which I think is, you know, obviously a constant problem. And find a workout that is good for us, won't hurt us, and also make us feel good. Like we were talking off air, there's all these great workouts out there, and they can be painful, even though it's good for your body. It doesn't mean it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
So how do you explain that to people who are like, who are the hard workout people? You know, the people who are like, yeah, it's not going to be a hard workout for me.
Yeah, we have something so funny in our culture, which is this idea that if you're not punishing yourself, you're not getting a workout.
Right.
It's really strange. I think it has something to do like this same capitalist mentality. Like if you're not being productive, then you don't matter. Mm-hmm. If you're not killing yourself, you're not purging, then you're not actually working hard. So we're just creating a world in which you can have fun and you can work hard. You're doing both at once. It's very simple.
Do you do anything? Now, Nikki says when she comes home from these classes, she's high.
She's so excited.
She's high.
She thinks you're like the hottest guy ever.
Yeah. No, she always thinks that.
Yeah. I mean, that is every day of my life.
That's right. Because I make sure, I say, aren't I the hottest
guy ever?
But do you do anything to kind of tear, in other words, in this class, can you have a 65-year-old woman and a 20-year-old woman? And you put everybody together. If they sign up for a class at 11, it's basically tough shit if the music's going faster than you can go. Is that how it works?
You know, we are definitely trying to segment it out a bit more. So because we really do have some people who say, look, I can't dance. I cannot dance. Please, please, please don't make me dance. So for those people who, you know, they want an easier level entryway into breaking down the steps, we're working on that, on creating a more beginner style class. We have some now, but we want to make it even easier to find. But one of the really cool things about this class is, like Nikki was saying, it's just the attitude. And it sounds simple, but as a woman growing up in the society that I have, just the mentality around working out, it's just the most important thing. So when you have an instructor who's, she's not being paid, you know, to do this, she doesn't just see right through you. This isn't an hour where she's getting her paycheck. She really wants to see you succeed. Then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're 65, if you're 15, if you have injuries. We've had people in wheelchairs take this class. It's a class with a lot of jumping, but how does someone in a wheelchair take this class? Well, they're, you know, they're moving their arms, they're having fun, they're soaking in the joy.
Or if you're into TM,
joy.
You can levitate, I suppose.
that's what's going on here.
It's possible for anyone to do it if you're willing to jump in.
How did you wind up rolling it out? So you, at what point were you able to brick and mortar yourself in New York?
So it's once we had grown it, it had been about a year that we were renting from space, and this Tango studio owner that I was renting from was like, I don't have space for my own classes. You know, it's 40 classes a week. We really overtook this pop-up. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I started looking for our own space. We opened a brick and mortar in Greenwich Village. It's gorgeous. It has showers, locker rooms. I mean, it's a whole experience is what people liken it to, because it really is.
And were you able to get funding for that?
Yeah, it was a lot of clients, actually, our customers at first, some friends and family, you know.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because you had to go to a banker, VCs.
Yeah, yeah. And the banks are not easy when you're starting out.
Proof of concept and collateral and all that.
So. Yeah, and we wanted people who were supportive. So we went to our customers, and a lot of them, you know, put in some investment, and we opened that first studio, and shortly thereafter, it was really just an overnight success. I mean, this is just the kind of business where it's 4 out of 5 people find out about it through a friend. It's the kind of thing you want to go home, tell 10 people about it. It's so much fun. And that's really what's taken us really far, is we don't have to spend money on marketing. People just refer people. So it's been super successful from the moment we opened, really. And shortly thereafter, we opened the second studio. We opened a DC pop-up. We launched a Boston pop-up. Those have turned into brick and mortar studios. We now have an LA pop-up that we're looking for studio space now. We're about to launch Chicago and San Francisco. So continues to grow, really.
And you're still doing all that without seeking sort of bigger investment?
So we have. We have raised money, all from angel investors, so not from institutional money. And a lot of those angel investors now have been some incredibly influential people in fitness, in media, and entertainment. So Tiesto, the DJ, is one of our biggest investors.
Do you have to give up a piece of the pie, or are they just guaranteed a certain return?
Yes. They will soon own a portion of the business. But I'm proud to call them investors. We've been lucky enough that the business is so great, we've been able to pick and choose the right people.
That's great.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out more about how these classes work and how you too can join 305 Fitness. This is David and Nikki Nellis. It's Industry Night at the Line Hotel. We'll be back in just a sec.
You just got to go there.
Up all night with the same thing in my head, just wanting you here next to me. It's been a long time, don't you agree? You can turn it all around and say to me.
Yeah.
tonight with Foodie and the Beast, David and Nikki Nellis, blasting it out live from our fabulous, exotic, glassed-in studio here in the Line
Hotel.
It's
hardly exotic,
but it feels exotic.
Let's not get crazy.
I mean, once you've seen our bathroom, anything feels exotic. Okay. We're talking to Sadie Kurzban, who is the founder. She's the creative force behind 305 Fitness, which is taking the fitness world by storm, to coast.
So I'm sort of curious.
How am I doing, Sadie? Pretty good?
David is the best pitch.
He is a seller, man. I'm sort of curious. So you're in New York. You have two properties. And then you decide to come to D.C. Why D.C.? Why not Philly? I mean, why here?
It's another story. It wasn't.
Well, you're on radio, so we need stories.
Yeah,
there
was no heat mapping of DC. It was that I had an amazingly talented instructor at the time whose family was from Northern Virginia. And she said, hey, I'm moving back home. Can I teach this class?
We know who it is.
Yeah, her name's Brittany Mooney. She's since got married. Now she lives on a military base in Tennessee. So she's not part of the DC family anymore, still in spirit. But she launched this. I said, yeah, I trust you. Here, go ahead. We'll find DJs for you. And once again, just grew beyond my expectations. I thought it was just going to be this cute little pop-up, two classes a week out of rented space. And she killed it. And the rest of the founding team did. So after a while, same thing, 40 classes a week, sold out classes. We had no choice but to open a studio. So,
and for those of you who don't know, the 305 Fitness here in the DC market is off of 14th and Florida, right across from Maidan.
Yes.
So you can really have a good workout and then go have a fabulous meal afterwards.
That's Saturday afternoon. That's a great spot.
I know. It's an amazing place to
be. It always smells so good when you get out of there.
With the bread.
It smells like an oven, like juicy meat.
I know. And then, so now you have a brick and mortar here, but how do you plan to expand the business city by city?
So every time we launch in a new market, we do this pop-up model. It was because I had $25,000. It was out of necessity. But it's become such a beautiful thing to be able to test market demand in that way. So this is how we launch. Same way we just launched in LA a year ago. We rent out of rented space. We see what the demand's like. If it exceeds our expectations, we open a brick and mortar.
And what about, so you're all city specific at this time. Are you looking to hit the mommy market, going to suburbs? And hitting those kind of regions, because in DC, if you're to look at like sort of the way real estate has worked here in the last 10 years, there's been a huge, I mean, it's the same thing in New York, Philly, Boston. I mean, all the metropolitan cities have had immense income come in to invest in real estate that just didn't exist before. Like DC has the Wharf now and Bloomingdale and LaDroite, like all these areas that, you know, the Navy Yard that just didn't exist 15 years ago. Now there's all this investment, and with that comes restaurants, retail, and then these workout facilities, these little boutique fitness facilities. And now we're seeing that spread out even more to the suburbs. So is that something that you're considering as a part of your marketing plan?
I think suburbs are possible. I think adding some more in DC and the cities that we're in are possible. You know, right now we have three in New York. We're about to open our fourth one. So really depends on the market appetite. You know, we have gotten over the last few years thousands upon thousands of emails, Instagram DMs. You know, people find my email. They'll guess my email and write to me. And they'll say, I've been following you on Instagram. This looks so fun. Please bring it to Kansas City. Please bring it to Indianapolis. Right. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, like it's going to take a while for us to get to Kansas City. So our idea to scale this is through our instructors. We've been really in the same way that we launched DC like this, right, through a person. Been really inspired by this creative talent, this creative group of people. They are so passionate, so talented, so smart with social media. Like you see these young people, like these 20-year-old women, they're incredible. They're like these little business women. They just get how to market. So we are looking to certify instructors. So that's, you know, can be everywhere at once. It's really scalable. And what that looks like, we just tested this in December. We got really curious about How do we get to other cities and maybe the suburbs?
I got a question.
Wait. I want to hear how it rolled out.
Yeah, come on, David. I'm midway.
I know.
You're on a roll. All
yes,
right.
I just got
finish.
To the punch. You know,
yes.
I'm about to get there.
So
we put this button up on our website in December, only a few months ago. It said, bring 305 to your city.
Okay.
It was an application. Said, hey, what do you like? What's your name? Where do you live? Have you ever danced before? Ask them questions like that. We got 850 applications of people from around the world. I was like, wow.
Okay, now, don't you have somebody from Australia?
Yeah. Exactly, 850 mm-hmm. people. Rome, Australia, I mean, everywhere from around the world. Tons in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Tons. And a lot actually like in Long Island, near the DMV area, right? Virginia. Saying they wanted to become certified to teach 305. So we hand-selected our favorite 60 instructors or 60 dancers. They paid their own way to come to our studios. Took a weekend intensive course, paid for it. And now they've left certified and they have access to our choreography, to that same model that I did when I rented from Space in New York. They plug in lights. They create this whole environment.
But
they
now,
charge their own class.
But now they don't. But if they were to open up a spot, they can't call it 305. Like, I don't understand. So yeah, is so, it franchising? So yeah. How are you going to do it
with
this?
It's a little like franchising, but it's through people. So we're not certifying people in our markets. It's not mm-hmm. going to be in D.C. But the cool thing is that when you go back home, like to northern New Jersey, and you're like, oh, shit, I just have my big box gym, you might be able to find a 305 class there now. So think about like
the
Zumba model, right?
Right.
Or the CrossFit model. So they're paying
sense.
Us for the access to marketing,
That's what
Ali choreography.
Should be doing.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
the Pilates. We have a friend that owns two Pilates studios.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah.
a really
Get
good
rid
idea.
Of the Pilates and do 305. So
or
here's
both.
Here's my question. Everybody who does something, even if it's successful, I mean, you write a book or whatever, the next time you go back a year later and you read it and you go, God damn it, why didn't I? What haven't you done that you wish you'd done, and what are you going to do about it?
I think the thing that I wish I would have done that I think there's still time for us to do is honestly really try and level the playing field more in the way that we make employment, just how we look for people and recruit people. I think that there is one of my passions is that there's so many people who have been incarcerated in this country who have really limited options in terms of where to get a job. And I would love for 305 to recruit people more, you know, to come work at our desk, to come be an instructor. That my passion is in entrepreneurship. That's why I love certification, because I think it's the ability to empower this whole generation of people to go and make their own money and create their own reality. And I just think that there's a whole workforce in our country of undocumented immigrants, of people who were formerly incarcerated, of people who are in wheelchairs, that they get overlooked for a lot of opportunities. And I am making more of an effort to recruit from those places. I wish I would have done that earlier.
That's amazing. And that's an incredible credo to have
that's
as a part of your business.
That's an admirable answer.
It is.
We're all our whole brand is inclusivity. So we got to walk the walk all the time.
I know. I totally hear you that your whole brand is inclusivity, but I think for people who haven't been there, and if they're to watch you on Instagram, I mean, it does go to 305 Fitness Instagram. You can see all the videos. You'll get an idea of what it's like. It is a ton of fun, but you got all these, you know, sexy instructor dancers moving their tushies. It can look a little
yes.
intimidating.
Yes.
So why don't we walk people sort of really through a class?
Okay.
Because
okay.
what I didn't know when I started, because I didn't understand how it worked, was that when the instructor gets in, we have the first 10 minutes and then the 2 minutes. I'll let you explain all that. But that when the choreo starts, they don't know what song is coming on.
Yeah.
So the DJ, there are a whole bunch of songs, but the choreo goes to the song. But the DJ can play whatever he or she wishes. So every class is different
yes.
because it totally depends on what the DJ feels like
yes.
playing.
No two classes are the same.
That's entirely true. So let's walk people through a class so they
okay.
understand. Like, because
yeah,
it's not just dancing
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah,
you know
I need
what
your
mean?
Help for sure. Okay, so you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
You get greeted hopefully by a really fun, inclusive person who's not going to judge you, because that's one of the things. I go to some fitness studios and it feels like you have to look the part and have the money and have the friends. So this is like
and
come
have the
as
outfit.
You are. Yeah. Come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, you check in your stuff, you go to the studio. The studio's got a DJ in the back corner playing mm-hmm. some pump up tunes. We have these really fun lips that are hand painted all over our walls. And we have this sick LED show. Crazy light show. I mean, you really feel like you are completely immersed in this experience because it's all pink, all blue. There's strobe. There's black light. It's like crazy, like a rave. So you go in, you pick a spot in the room. It's really, it looks like a dance studio. There's mirrors. There's sprung hardwood floors. The light show turns on. The beat drops. The instructor gives a really quick explanation and you jump right in. There's no breaking down of steps. It's basically just follow along, easy to follow choreography, and it's a lot of cardio. So Nikki's right. It's not quite dancing. It's not as if you would imagine a dance class where they say, okay, this is step one, step two.
Right.
You're just following along as best as you can. It's kind of like running for 55 minutes straight. You're getting that much of an intense cardio workout, but you're doing all these fun moves. So you don't have to remember anything. You know, as soon as you learn a move, there's a new move coming into place. You don't perform for anyone. It's a lot of cardio in this way, but it's more like rhythmic cardio. So I say if you can do a jumping jack, if you can do kickboxing, you know, and some punches in the air, you can definitely do this class.
Without a doubt.
All right. What about for people, because there are more and more people. I have two fake knees. And we
You're not doing this class.
No, no. We have a friend that has two fake hips.
Right.
So people with, you know, people who are fakes, who are bionic, can they do it or not do it?
I mean, I think yes, but I would definitely say try it, see what it feels like.
I think it's also about the intensity level.
It's about the
So there are people in the class that can do it at a 10.
Yeah.
And there are people who can't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When I first started taking the class, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Although you're definitely a 10.
I am now. Thank
you. She goes so hard.
I go as hard as I possibly can. But when I first started, I mean, AJ said earlier, AJ's like the grapevine. I had no fucking idea what a grapevine was. And I like had asked one of the instructors. I'm like, I can't get that step. Can you please? And everybody is so nice and super helpful.
Yeah, you take it at your own thing. You do. You do.
But now you have started online classes.
So we, yeah,
you know, what's happening there?
Okay, so if you are curious about this, you're thinking, no way in heck can I either make it to a studio or am I going to go dance in front of other people? Mm-hmm. Check out our YouTube channel. That's really easy. It's free. It's no excuses. YouTube, 305 Fitness, type it in. Mm-hmm. And you'll see we have our workouts available online for free just because we want to offer it. Why not?
I was actually surprised that you offered them for free because I thought, you know, when you think of like Peloton and all these subscription services that people are sort of doing now, and I feel like there's more coming up, that that's sort of another future way of fitness, that people are doing fitness in their house. So why not go that, why not follow that model?
I think we have to do one thing well at a time.
Well, not only that, the group dynamic is, I think, the... Am I too far from the
mic?
You're
too far from the mic.
Hello, everybody.
There you go, much better.
But I think the group dynamic is a big part of this. And if you're by yourself, yeah, you can do it by yourself in your house. You can do a lot of exercise.
Well, lots of people like to work out at home.
People like different things, for sure. There's some people who like it in a group. There's some people who like it at home. There's some people who want a machine. They like. Everyone's a little
different.
Well,
I'm going to throw something else out there, too, because I have always said I'm not a class person. And I really am not, which is why I'm so surprised that I like 305 so much. I didn't like being judged. I like to go to my gym and, you know, I don't like buying fancy workout clothes. That's not where I want to spend my money. Like, I want to go in my pajamas and work out. So classes just were always unappealing to me. And I like to just go in, do my thing, and get out. And classes can be intimidating. And there's so many hardcore classes right now, you know, so many systems that are hardcore that I feel like people are nervous about them. And I just want to put it out there that you have to try all of them to see what works for you. And don't, I really pigeonholed myself by saying, I don't like classes.
Yes.
I must have had an experience at some point where I was like, yeah, I don't like that. But don't pigeonhole yourself, and you should try all the different experiences. You're always trying different experiences.
I am.
So what are some of the other workouts out there that you've tried that you're like, I like that?
Oh, I love that question because I think, again, like the fitness industry, the leaders in the fitness industry, it's like they pretend that people don't like to try other things and do other workouts. As if
that would be like eating
only,
the same,
exactly,
right, that would
the
be
same
like
salad every day.
Like, that's
crazy.
Right.
So I love other workouts for sure. I mean, I'm a huge fan of 305. I really do take it at least 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not doing 305. I do like a little just quiet time at the gym, lifting weights. You should see me at the squat rack. I'm pretty strong over here. Mm-hmm. You can't see me if you're listening, but I'm very short. So they say that shorter people are stronger. We've got more force or something like that. I'm 5 and a half.
Okay, I am 5.
You know, Nikki.
So you should try powerlifting. We should do it one time.
Okay, I'm totally.
It's like incredible how strong we are. We don't have that far to go off
right,
the ground.
Right, because we're close. That's
why
it's
like a physics thing.
You must be a heavy walker too. People always tell me I'm a heavy walker. Yeah, because I always say because I'm
boom,
close
boom,
to the ground.
Boom.
Right.
So
walk with
I like lifting. Big. I do like the Megaformer classes in New York. I like SLT. Here in DC, I like Solid Core. Every once in a while, if I really want to just like beat my chest and feel like testosterone, I Cut 7 in DC is fun. They have a workout similar to it called Tone House in New York.
Mm-hmm. I've done Cut 7.
Yeah. It's yeah, I like it. I like it. You know, that one's fun with a friend. You're like screaming your head off for each other and pushing each other on a sled.
Mm-hmm.
That one's kind of fun too.
See, I get what Cut 7 is and I've done it and I like it. but I don't like people yelling at me while I'm working out. I don't like people telling me I can do it. You can do it. I'm like, no, I can't.
What if you get someone in who comes in and goes, Mom?
No. What?
Not that kind of yelling.
No,
our daughter.
Oh. Kids.
Mom.
No. She does not inspire me to work out.
No, she doesn't.
That would be depressing.
She inspires me to leave the room.
Okay, so you like Cut 7 down here. What about in other cities? What are you liking in New York?
I like a workout called Fitting Room.
Mm-hmm. What's it like?
Kettlebell swings, burpees. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you gotta love that. Oy. You gotta love a burpee if you're gonna do that class.
So the only thing we haven't really discussed is how do you advise? I'm sure people ask you all the time about eating and working out because they see you as some sort of fitness guru, which rightfully so, you've created this incredible workout regime. So how do you talk to people about food? Because it does go hand in hand.
I am not an expert on food. I really am just an average person. I probably eat, 70% healthy, clean, 30% whatever I want.
Right.
So I think that life is short. I think that's one of the things that makes me a special entrepreneur is that from being even a really small child, I knew my time is short. Mm-hmm. And I got to make the most of it. So it's hard for me to get into this mentality of self-punishment and, oh my gosh, I just put this thing on my Instagram the other day that was like, because I have been eating ice cream every day for the last 45 days. I mean,
I
can't stop.
He has a scoop of ice cream every evening.
It's just...
Every evening.
I can't stop. I'm like on a kick and I'm enjoying it. So I put this thing out on my Instagram, like, what's your favorite flavor? What should I try? People, first of all, are so passionate. The responses I got were crazy. But I got some people who were like, oh, you should try this awesome protein shake. It tastes just like it. And
no,
I'm like,
thank you.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
Like,
if you're
going to
do it,
that?
Right?
And I cannot with the low calorie.
No. What's that one
you're
called? Halo Top?
I am on a war.
Oh,
against
my God.
What is Halo Top?
You taste like you have a chemical in your mouth.
Ugh.
They're going to come after us
it's
for that.
Like it's like a whole a pint.
Well, they're not going to be sponsored.
It's like frozen Diet Coke.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's
frozen.
One pint is like 300 calories.
It's air.
But it's made from antifreeze, so it's okay.
I mean, I feel like if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Haagen-Dazs. I love Van Leeuwen. Mm-hmm. Love Talenti. I mean, you got to
There's a really good
like
ice cream place across the street.
What's
right
that?
Over there. Right over there. It just opened like 6 months ago. I have to look up the name.
Okay.
But it's very good.
Dolcezza here is good.
Dolcezza here is very good.
I mean, life is short. Eat what you want. That's the truth. Because the truth is genetics play a huge role in everything. So you could eat salads all your life and still drop dead at 60.
I don't know why you're looking at me because...
Well, because you're starting like this massive diet.
Oh, I thought you meant because you thought my life was going to be short. But
no. I mean, your father lived till 90... How old was your dad?
He's 2048.
No, I'm serious.
Come on.
I'm not worried about you.
No, I'm going to be here forever.
I know.
I'm going to live until you dry up and then I'll die.
Oh.
Right. Isn't that pleasant?
But I've told her when I die, she's not allowed to, get married or have sex or anything. So I'm just going to stick around until, until I'm sure.
Until nobody wants to
and
have
then
sex
I'll,
with me.
Then I'll float away.
That's the deal.
I'll float away like a leaf.
Right. But just so you know, I'm going to find somebody to have sex with anyway.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No, I'll
I'm
haunt
make
you.
It happen.
You bitch.
Haunt you haunt me now.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to our marriage.
Men are
predatory?
Have an upper hand when it comes to nursing homes, I hear.
Oh, because all the women.
Are
well, there's not as many men
outnumbered. Yeah,
and
exactly.
The women all want one.
Exactly.
Which I'm sort of like, really? Is that attention
sucks.
Still
we
so
never
necessary?
Grow out of it.
I know. My grandmother told me after my grandfather died, and she went to an assisted living facility that it was like high school because she had different friends at this facility, and from like all parts of her life. She was in Philadelphia, and. Going to the right table for dinner.
Oh my God.
I was like, you
they
gotta
need 305.
Like
I was like,
daughter.
You gotta be
who'd
kidding
eat,
me.
Who'd you eat lunch with? That's right.
I mean,
in all seriousness, though, about your question about food, like, I don't see 305, even though it is fitness related to purging or food or losing weight, I really see it as a chance for people to feel good.
Well,
so
and I,
don't
do,
really
I totally get
food.
That, but I would think that I'm with you on that, and I totally get it, but I'm surprised that more people don't come to you with questions. I mean, I feel like the answers are right in front of you, but that's because of my relationship with food and the years that it's taken me to get here.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in the food industry and I have to work very hard to eat healthy on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But there's lots of I mean, I just came from a Burgundy wine tasting. I mean, yeah, that's how that goes.
Wow, midday on a Monday?
It's hard work, but somebody's got to do it. But I am curious that more people aren't asking you about the yin and yang of that.
Yeah.
And because it does feel like it goes hand in hand. Do you know what I mean? Diet and fitness.
I think it does traditionally, but that's why I think 305 is so different. And that goes back to the conversation we started this with, which is that this isn't like any other brand that's telling you to you have to change and look a certain way and change who you are in order to be accepted. This is a brand that just celebrates who you are.
So when's the IPO?
Oh, I don't know. We have to grow a lot bigger first. Right.
What's
coming
the soon. So what is the long-term goal?
The long-term goal is that you are able to take a 305 class wherever you are.
So you can find it in your gym.
You can find it in your gym. If you live in a smaller city, you can find it in a brick and mortar studio. If you live in a bigger market, mm-hmm. you can find it online at home. You can go on a 305 cruise. You can go on a 305 Miami retreat. You can do 305 anywhere.
Are you going to be doing trips?
I think so. It's something we haven't done, but I think it'd be really fun.
I would totally do that.
You guys would go?
Cruise ship. Yes. Yeah.
Can you imagine doing the grapevines on the boat?
No. Yes.
Extra challenge.
No, not cruise ship. Absolutely not. No.
AJ, show me a grapevine. What's a grapevine?
Step right, step together.
I have to like
I'll show you after. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We'll get a master class.
Step right, step together. Oh, and so I did hear one of your instructors told me about an advanced class.
Yes.
What is that? How did I miss it?
I wouldn't recommend it so much for beginners. We have it just a couple times a week, but it is basically all the choreography that you love, but it's moving even faster. So instead of the song playing out for a minute and a half, it'll play out for about 20 seconds.
Same song?
No, just a new one.
You're just
it's
moving
like
faster.
All your favorite stuff.
Oh my
God. And shorter songs. You'd love it. You'd really like it.
From one routine to the next.
Exactly. Very fast.
Well, yes. I will say that once, so you can cheat. I call it cheating, even though it's not cheating. You can go and watch Instagram and YouTube, and you can learn the choreo.
Yes.
Or at least familiarize yourself with it, because every instructor does do it differently.
Yes.
You know, some instructors at different hand movements, or some are right-handed and some are left-handed, so some go immediately to the left instead of going to the right. So you just have to follow along. Not everybody goes in there and knows absolutely everything. Which I always think is fascinating, but there is nothing more exciting for me when like the song comes on and I'm like, oh, I know the moves. I can do this dance. I don't even need the instructor. I know exactly where we're going. It's a real joy. And I think I'm a devotee. I'm a junkie. I can't believe I'm actually saying that on air. I'm a huge.
We've converted you.
You have totally converted
me. From hating
me.
Classes to loving this.
I'm a huge, huge fan. And, I tell everybody, people ask me what I do. I mean, people ask me all the time what I do to work out. And I'm delighted to tell them, and I bring people in. I just think it's a positive, exciting thing. So.
I think there's a lot. Yeah. If you love food and you love going out, you're going to love this class, because it's not about, oh, the shit you ate last night. It's like, yeah, you ate that shit and
you're
going to have fun here too.
Exactly.
Party, party, party.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
When
are you coming in to teach a class?
Well, I was just here this weekend, so maybe in
about a month or two. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do our own
private. Not that your instructors aren't great, but your classes are pretty fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And AJ for coming in. AJ, you want to give one more shout out to your event in June?
Edible DC, Eat Drink Local, Monday, June 10th at Longview Art Gallery.
Okay, and tickets are on sale.
Yeah, you can go to edibledcmag.eventbrite.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
or you can go
good luck remembering that. Just go to Edible DC.
You know, the one thing we don't do for people that are listening anywhere kind of in the mid-Atlantic region is the other show. Foodie and the Beast is on 1500 AM. We reach up into Pennsylvania and down into North Carolina.
All true.
And it's like a variety show for food and wine. And you should listen in, because it's a hoot. We've been on 11 years, and that must say something.
Can I tell it differently?
It's
fun.
It's a hoot.
No, you'll learn a lot, and we eat a lot of food, and we have a lot of fun. And
so we've
usually
been on
by the end of the show, everybody's looped. It's fun.
So we've been on for the last 10 years. It's a food and wine variety show.
I said that.
It's five segments usually, but there's winemakers, craft artisans, people in the food space, restaurateurs,
brewers,
chefs,
distillers.
Yes. And we do talk about food politics, given that we're in D.C. And sometimes we do a little travel and a little shopping and have a lot of fun. And we do workouts on there in studio as well. So we always have a good time. You can check that out. You can check out Foodie and the Beast. I'd love to send you to my website, but it's been hacked, so it's not up right now. But you can find it on Federal News Radio.
Like a wounded bird flying across.
Oh my God, please. It's been a long weekend. And then this show is on Full Service Radio, and you, of course, can find both shows on iTunes. I want to thank both of my guests for joining us today. Next week is going to be super fabulous. We have the Napa Valley Vintners in studio. They're CEO, and they're coming in with a bunch of winemakers. So we're going to be drinking wines from Napa.
That sounds super fabulous to me.
And then we'll go work out at 3:05 after.
Not me. I'm missing that part.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody have a delicious week.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.